It is good to be back with you this morning, and it is good to, it's a little cool, more like we expect fall to be. I don't know if you watched any of the football games yesterday. A lot of them had snow. I watched some of the West Virginia game, and the field was all white. It's nice to be a little cool, but not that cold. So it is nice to have fall back this week before Thanksgiving. This week, we're going to be studying in Matthew, once again, in Matthew 13. And if you look at Matthew 13, we're going to take a look at the parables of Jesus. But you need to think back to the context that we have. In chapter 12, if you remember last week, Jesus had done one of his great miracles. But there was two ways that people received that miracle. Some people saw that miracle and they wondered, could this be the Son of David? Could this be the witness of God that this man is truly a great prophet, even more than a prophet, the very Messiah? Some people recognize that. But others, the Pharisees, their hearts were hard, and they wanted to take even the miracles of Jesus and give the devil credit for those. One of the things we'll see in today's lesson, chapter 13, is how do we receive the Word of God? How do we think about what we receive? If you look over to chapter 13, Jesus is going to start teaching in parables. And one of the things that Matthew does when he introduces that, he introduces us to Jesus in the parables, and one of the more difficult parables to understand. But it's the way he introduces us to the idea that Jesus brings to us in teaching in parables. Look at the first one. This is in chapter 13 of Matthew, beginning in verse 3. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower, that is, a farmer, went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell upon the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky grounds, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. I want you to notice that last line. I think it's one of the ideas that we'll see throughout this section. The idea, do we really listen and hear? Now this parable is not, if you first looked at it, may not be that easy to understand. And I don't think it was very easy for the disciples to understand. And later on, Jesus is going to explain this parable to them. If you look at the next section, the disciples come to Jesus, and you can see that they're sort of troubled by this says. The disciples says, why do you speak to them in parables? Basically, they're saying to Jesus, what kind of teaching are you doing? And he answered them, to you has been given to the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even that which he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not understand. What do we mean by parables? We'll get back to this in just a minute. But before we do, what do we think of when we think of a parable? Many times you think of some of the very famous parables. If you talk about the Good Samaritan, almost everyone knows what you're talking about. Even people that don't have any idea maybe where it came from or much about the Bible, they've heard of the Good Samaritan. And many of the other parables are that way. They stick with us. They bring to light the teachings of Jesus. In fact, the word parable simply means to lay alongside of. And basically what Jesus does in the parables is he takes a teaching that he's teaching and then he brings it to light with a parable. In other words, he illustrates the point that he's trying to get us to understand by a parable. And so it's a little story, it's a little word picture that helps us to understand what Jesus is bringing to us. In fact, one writer puts it this way, and I want you to think about what he says. He says, a parable is a simple example of life, leaving the mind in sufficient doubt about its precise application to tease us into active thought. Now, I think that's really what the parables do. They tease you into active thought. In other words, they make you think about I mean, he tells us a little story. You think, well, what does that mean? What's this little story about? And it makes you participate in the teaching. It's the way Jesus has really of drawing us in. It's one thing just to sit there and somebody tells you a lot of things. And Jesus tells us a lot of really important things. But in the parables, he sort of draws you into them. He engages your thought so that he entices you to think about what he's saying. And in that respect, he makes you be part of the lesson instead of just a listener to the lesson. You become part of it. And that's what the parables do. They sort of break down our way of looking at things sometimes so that we can truly understand them. That's why stories like the Good Samaritan, they stick with us. And you remember those things and you remember the principle. You remember the Good Samaritan was to answer the question, who is my neighbor? And the story of the Good Samaritan brings that out to us. And we're seeing some of that in the parable we look at this morning. Normally a parable is a very simple story, and it has one main theme to it. Sometimes we want to read more into a parable than it's really there. But the way to understand a parable is take a look at what Jesus has just been talking about. Whatever the context, that's what the parable is about. It's not about something else. It's about to illustrate the principle that he's trying to get us to understand. So if you want to know what a parable means, look at the context. Look at what Jesus was talking about before and after the parable, and you'll understand that. And I think we'll see that in the parable of the sower this morning. Normally, often in a parable, there's some part of the parable that doesn't seem to quite fit. Maybe it's exaggerated or overstatement. One of the parables Jesus says, he says, a man owned 10,000 talents. Well, we may not think about a talent, but basically it's saying like somebody owed $10 billion. Well, you can run up a lot of money on credit cards, but it's hard to run up $10 billion on credit cards. You know, and so what Jesus is saying is what? Actually, if you look at 10,000 talents, there probably wasn't 10,000 talents in all of Israel of that day. So what's the meaning of 10,000 talents? This man owed a debt that he could not pay. And that's brought out in the parable, that this was a debt that he could never pay. Of course, that brings out the idea that all of us owe a debt that we cannot pay, and that Christ paid that price for us. And the parable brings that out to us, and it emphasizes it by the use of overstatement. The theme of parables are usually there, but we sometimes misread them because we almost want to read too much into them. Jesus is bringing out simple stories to bring a point to light. And if we look at that, we can usually understand them. Often the parables start with a question. 22 times Jesus starts a parable with, what do you think, or who among you? So he immediately tries to draw you into what he's talking about. What do you think about this, is what he's saying. And then he tells a little story. And so you can, all of us, when we hear a story, we can think about what he's talking about. And so it forces us to participate, and it forces us sometimes to make a judgment. Now sometimes we don't always like to make a judgment, because often that judgment is about ourselves. And that's one of the things that parable does, is that it brings you into the teaching of Jesus so that you cannot just stand out there and just kind of listen to it. You participate in the teachings. And you'll see that as we go through the parables. So when you look at the parables of Jesus, don't try to read into them more than there. Try to see the main point that Jesus is making. Look at the context that goes around it. And you usually can see exactly the point Jesus is making with that parable. Now look back with me at what Jesus has said in the passage that we just read. Why do you speak to them in parables? Now if you read what Jesus is, his answer to them, at first you can misunderstand what he says. He says, to you has been given the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and that which he has in abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And we're going to come back to that statement throughout our lesson today. But first, I want you to take a look at what Jesus says to them. If you look on down the next passage that Matthew really explains a little bit to us. He says, indeed, in the case of the prophet Isaiah was fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And indeed you will you'll see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears can barely hear, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now what Jesus is quoting back to Isaiah, and if you go back to the book of Isaiah, you can see the context. Isaiah lived roughly 700 years before Jesus. But God sends Isaiah out to preach to Israel. But this is the passage, direct quote, the way that God sends him out. And what God is telling Isaiah is, Isaiah, I'm sending you out to the people, but most of them aren't going to listen to you because their ears are dull, their eyes they don't see. I'm sending you out, Isaiah, to a crowd that's going to be a very hard crowd. They're not going to be receptive to your message. And that's what God said. Not because God closed their ears or eyes, because the people themselves were not receptive. They had closed their own minds to the words of God. Now, it wasn't like God gave up on them. He's still going to send Isaiah out. And Isaiah is going to preach to the people. And some of them would come. And notice what happened to them. Those that would come would be healed. They would come back to the Lord. But most of them wouldn't. And that's what Jesus quotes this passage of Isaiah. Because the same Jesus is basically teaching a crowd of people like Isaiah. The people that Jesus was teaching, they were dull. They weren't listening to the message. They weren't seeing with their eyes and hearing with their ears. Their minds were closed. And so Jesus is going to teach in parables to open their minds up. The reason for the parables was to bring it to light, not to hide it. If you look over to Luke, our scripture reading this morning, one of the really marvelous things about the Bible, in the Gospels we have Matthew, Mark, and Luke that are very similar. And often one of the stories will be in all three of them. Well, this parable of the sower is in all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And if you take a look at from Matthew or from Luke or from Mark, they give you a little bit different perspective of it. At the very end of the parable is our scripture reading from the day. If you take a look at before we get to that, in Matthew 34, at the end of Matthew's discussion, Matthew says, all these things Jesus said to the crowds. Indeed, he did not say anything without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken to the prophet. I will open my mouth. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. And what Matthew was saying when it was hidden is now going to be revealed. In other words, the parables weren't to hide the message. They were to reveal the message. They were to bring it out. Things that had been hidden from the very beginning, now everything was going to be brought to light. And look at the way Luke says this, and that's the passage I want to get to now in Luke chapter 8, our scripture reading this morning. Luke says, no one lighting a lamp covers it with a jar, puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a stand so that those who may enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor anything secret that will not be made known or come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given. And from one who has not, even that which he thinks he has will be taken away. Now notice that last verse is exactly what Matthew gave us. And what Luke is showing us, Jesus was truly the light to the world. And Jesus didn't come to hide what he was saying, but to make it known. And that's the very idea that he's the light. Nothing's going to be hidden. Jesus is going to make his teaching as plain as he can. And part of that's going to be through the parables, to bring this light out. But notice the last line that Luke gives to us. It's the same line we saw over in Matthew. And notice what he says. He says, take care then how you hear. Take care. There's a little warning right here. For to the one who has, more will be given, and the one who has not, even which he thinks he has, will be taken away. Now the meaning here is they have been given the understanding. And if we use that understanding of what we've been given, we'll be given more, and we can understand more. But if we fail to understand what we have and don't use it, we will lose even that little bit that we have. And that's one of the messages in the parable of the sower, because this is the context of that parable. And this is what Jesus is trying to get to see. How do we receive the Word of God? If we take care of how we receive it, then we're going to get more. But if we don't take care of how we receive it, we're going to lose even that which we have. And we see that in the parable of the sower. Now in the next section, Jesus is going to explain the parable to his disciples. And notice Jesus' explanation of the parable. This is in Matthew, beginning in verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself and endures for a little while. But the tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word. Immediately he falls away. As for the one sown among the thorns, this is one who hears the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown in good soil, this is one who hears the word, understands it. He indeed bears fruit, and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, and a number 30. Now just very quickly with me, take a look at the different kinds of soil that Jesus talks about. The first is that which falls along the path. Well, you think about a path, a sidewalk is not very receptive to soil. Normally, if you go out and sow soil, that you know, you take a plow and you make the ground ready for it. Well, this is on the path. That so the word doesn't have much chance. If you ever talk to someone about Jesus and basically they come back with, you know, I just don't have time to listen to that, or I just don't want to think about it right now. You know, maybe at another time, let me think about it. They're not receptive. They don't want to take time to think about it. We get busy with our lives, and the word's there for us, but we don't want to take enough time to really think about it. You know, maybe at another time, maybe I'll have more time, but right now I'm busy. You know, don't bother me with that. I just don't want to think about it right now. You hear that. It's easy to go along with the world and not think about it. And maybe they think, at a number of times, maybe I will. And I think that's what he's talking about, the seed along the path. People don't want to, it's there for them, but they don't take the opportunity to listen to it. They don't take the opportunity to understand it, to make it part of their lives. The one that falls on rocky ground, well, that's a little better. It falls on the rocky ground, has a little bit of dirt there. I don't know if you've ever, we don't have a lot of big rocks here, but if you ever walk up in the mountains, a lot of times you'll see a little, even a little tree sometimes growing right out of a rock. And there's a little teeny bit of dirt there and a little bit of dirt, something will grow out of it. Even in our sidewalks or something, it doesn't take much, just a little bit of dirt, a weed or something will grow there. That's sort of what's happening here. There's a little bit of soil there, but not a whole lot. And so it takes root and it grows a little bit. But when they said, Jesus said, when the trials come, when really it's tested, there's no root there. It's very shallow. In Hebrews chapter 3, the Hebrew writer talks about the Israelites that came out of Egypt. Now you think about if you were one of those Israelites that came out of Egypt, and you saw the Red Sea parted. I don't know, there was a movie a while back. And you see the huge water on both sides, and you walk through on dry ground. And then the Egyptian army comes back behind you, and they get destroyed. Can you imagine living through that? You would see the great wonders of God. If you were one of those Israelites that came out of Egypt, you saw the 10 plagues that God inflicted upon Egypt. Egypt was the most powerful nation in the world at that time. And God brings them down to their knees through these great plagues. And you saw all those things. But the Hebrew writer says, but those people that saw all those things, they all died in the desert. All up over the next 40 years, they wander around and they all die in the desert. Why? Because they didn't have any root to their belief. If you look at what the Hebrew writer says, in whom did God swear that they would never enter into his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Now what the Hebrew writer does is he links those two ideas, unbelief to disobedience. And he links the idea of obedience to faith or to belief. In other words, why did the Israelites not believe in God? Because they never obeyed him. They were not obedient. We have to take our faith and link it to obedience so that it can grow, or else it's going to be shallow and never get anywhere. You have to use what you have, and you have to obey God with what you have so that your faith will gain root and it will grow. Overall, in John chapter 3, many of the people were coming to see Jesus, and he had just done one of his great miracles. He had fed the 5,000. And notice what Jesus says to them. I tell you the truth, you're looking for me, not because of the miraculous signs, not really because of what I'm teaching, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, for which the Son of Man will give you. See, many people come to Christ and it's just, what's in it for me right now? And their faith is very shallow. And it never matures. It never grows. The opportunity is there, but they never make use of it. It's always, what can I have right now? What's in it for me? Or what did I get out of the worship service today? Always is, what's in it for me type of thing. And they have a very shallow understanding, and they don't grow. Coming to Christ, one of the principles that Jesus teaches is the idea of repentance. Now, a lot of times we talk about what repentance means, and we talk about being sorry for our sin and the sorrow that brings us to repentance. Repentance is not just being sorry. Repentance means a change of mind, a change of the way that you really look at things, a change of your worldview. In Romans 12, Paul talks about transforming your mind from the world so you can think about the things the way God does. Transforming your mind. That's what repentance is. It's looking at things not like the world does, but like God does. Changing the way you, totally the way that you think. And that's what we're called to do. And when we do that, and we put that into our lives, then we can have not a shallow faith, but a much deeper faith that we're called to have. Look at the last one, the thorns. Now here, we've talked about the thorns before. Here the person receives the word and it grows up. But the cares of this world, there's so many things always happening. One of the gospel writers says just the desire for other things. In other words, they had the word of God and it grew in their lives and it seemed to be doing pretty well. But they just got tied up in all the things around them. There's so much going around us all the time. We're always busy. There's always things going on with our families, our jobs, and whatever. And if we're not careful, those things can choke out the very love of the Lord so that we don't grow and mature like we should. Jesus is pointing out in this passage, what kind of soil are we? What are we going to do with the word that's been given to us? He said, if you use what you've been given to you, you can grow. If you don't, then even that which you have would be taken away. A few years back, I read an article about the Olympics. And that I may have told this story before. I couldn't remember. But it really made an impact on me. So after the Olympics, this author had gone through and interviewed 40 different Olympic champions. Now, you think about an Olympic champion. This is somebody that's not just the best in their high school, not just the best in their state, not just the best in their country. This person's the best at whatever they do in the whole world. Now, that's something you think about it. You're the very best in the whole world at whatever it was, whatever athletic event it was. And this person interviewed both men and women in lots of different sports. Because he was trying to find out, what did all these Olympic champions have in common? And one of the things he found out that surprised him. Now, you would think, if you're the very best in the world at doing something, that when you're in high school, you'd just be head and shoulders above everybody else. You'd just blow everybody else away. Nobody else could even be on the field with you. What he found was that when this person was growing up, in high school or early in college, they weren't always the very best at their sport. There was somebody else that was just as good or even better than them. But that person fell away, and they went on to become an Olympic champion. Why? Because they used and they grew in what they had. They put it to use and they continued to work at it. The other person had just as much natural ability, maybe even more. But they didn't use it, and they didn't stick with it, and they fell away. That's really the message Jesus is getting us in this parable. It's been given to us. We have the parables. We have the Word of God. But are we going to make use of it? Are we going to put it into our lives? Are we going to obey it and grow the deep roots so that there will come times in our lives where we'll be tested? There will come trials in our lives. Every one of us will face trials in our lives. And then, will our faith hold up? It will, if we've built the kind of maturity in the Lord that He teaches us to. If we've held on to that Word and we've grown in that Word, then we will withstand the trials of this life. But if we haven't, then even that which we have will be taken away from us. The idea of the message of the parable is, what kind of soil are you going to be? Are you going to receive the Word and grow in it? Or are you going to let it die out? You've got a choice. And we always have that choice. Throughout this passage in Matthew, Jesus gives us that choice of how we're going to grow in the Lord. How are we going to mature? How are we going to use what the Lord has given us? This parable starts, there was two groups of people. There were the people that saw the great miracles of Jesus and wondered, is this the Messiah? And there was a group of people over here that saw the same miracle, had the same teaching gave them to them, and they attributed it to Satan. We have to decide what we're going to do with the Word in our lives today. This morning, you've been given the opportunity to grow in your Lord. If you've never come to the Lord, there'd never be a better time. And if you have started that walk, if you started maturing in the Lord, we need to continue to mature. And you need to continue to work at it. If you use what's been given to you, you will be given more. But if you don't use what's been given to you, even that which you have will be taken away. This morning, make sure you don't lose your eternal life, for it's truly there if you take hold of it. If you need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.